Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Dario Hudon, who is the co-founder of Work Nicer Coworking, which is the largest co-working space in Alberta. And he is also the founder of Octopus & Son, which is a marketing agency focused on social media that is actively building Socialville, which is a social media scheduling platform. Today, we're going to be discussing Dario's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Dario.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sounds good. Fire away. And I do apologize for my cough in advance.
It is all good. It's the time of year. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I'd say it's the people. It sounds like a cliche, but years ago, I was presented with this methodology or idea, if you will, that there are the types of people that enjoy either people, money, time, or analytics. And I noted through this that I enjoy people above money, which I don't know if that makes me a good businessman or a bad one, but I guess yet to be seen 8 years going. But I say the motivation is indeed people. You know, we found, and I've absolutely found, and I believe this truly, that in marketing, we do around 20% marketing and 80% is client relations, understanding them, understanding their values, their barriers, what they're trying to overcome, how we can match those values. That to us is the crux of true marketing and understanding audiences. So really we're in people relations, behavior, the psychology of it. And it just so happens the vehicle that we use for marketing is social.
Interesting. And so how do you maintain those happy clients and, you know, ensure that that relationship is dialed in and that you're managing those expectations for them?
So that is a really good question, and one that I won't say we've struggled with because we haven't struggled with it. The one thing I'd say we struggled with is how do we scale human, if you will, something that we've discussed at Work Nicer as well. How does one scale that piece?
Yeah.
And so I find that, you know, my role has become those client relations. And certainly I could pass those off to someone else. But as we know, when it comes to founders, no one is more passionate than, you know, the founder of any type of startup.
Of course.
With that in mind, sorry, say that again.
Of course. Yes. 100%. Right? Yep.
And so with that, I take quite a lot of interest in my clients, their lives, as far as they'll let me go, if you will, understanding who they are, you know, knowing, you know, when their birthday is, you know, their kids, what they like, what they dislike. And I create quite the colloquial relationship with them. One would say that that's dangerous because you cross over into this friendship territory. And certainly, but I have legitimately, instead of trying to circumvent it or navigate it, have just said, we will have friend mode and we will have business mode. And I will translate between the two by stating, okay, so business mode. And then we talk money. You know, we talk, you know, the difficult situation. Yeah. And then when it's friend mode, I'll say friend mode. So how are things with your daughter? You know, are things getting better? Yes, they are wonderful. You know, scenarios like that. I'll even go so far as bringing soup when they're sick. And again, it's not scalable, but it's, you know, provided us with 8 years with a team of five, and I've decided that that's my role. And I enjoy it. I do.
That's so, so cool.
It's kind of neat, right? It's also ridiculous because, you know, but why not? You know, I'm now with that in mind, we also have the most ridiculous thing that we do, much to the chagrin of my poor, poor accountant. But believe it or not, we actually don't have contracts. We have agreements, of course, for, you know, the obvious.
Yep.
But all our clients can leave within 30 days if they want to. And we've decided that why would we stay with somebody if they don't necessarily want us to represent them? It just doesn't make sense. Yes, it makes sense on the books. Don't get me wrong, right? To be able to forecast, you know, and again, my poor, poor accountant. I love you, Russ. But in this fashion, you know, we've still been able to keep clients for nearly, you know, well, nearly a year. We've had clients we've had, honest to goodness, for 8 years, and and our, which is wild, right? But again, it's about building relationships. I once heard, and this is the reason why I think this, that once you take out your contract, you're already fucked. Pardon, sorry, am I allowed to do that?
Yes, go right ahead.
You're already pooched. So you have to build that relationship beforehand. And so I really, you know, placed emphasis on that. And so we are an agency, you know, that did around a quarter of a million last year, built on no contracts and built on bringing soup to their clients.
That's so interesting. It's so cool and unique. I love learning about different cultures that different agencies have. And I agree. I think it's so important to really nurture that relationship with your clients, get to know them, you know, as best as you can. And you guys have really, really excelled in that department. That's so cool. And it's, you know, it's worked out in your favor in the long run.
I think so. Yeah. And what I really like about it is I feel like it was a piece of my own value that perhaps I didn't know at first. And perhaps I was trying to discover, and then through this process have been able to adopt it more and have it grow. So, you know, as we know, we learn a lot from our businesses about our character, and how it challenges us, but also how it provides us with value and how it helps us grow. And I would say that without question, you know, my company's journey and how we go about our client relations has always been a part of who I am, but has also helped to emphasize and amplify that part of myself that it seems that I love the most and want people to see, right? And so we, you know, hire accordingly, you know?
Yeah, very cool. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about your story of starting Octopus & Son. You know, what was that deciding factor to start your own agency?
Well, it certainly didn't start out as an idea for an agency. I'm not going to lie to you and say, you know, oh yeah, so I had all these business model ideas, you know. No, not at all. I was, you know, I was at that door in my, I won't even say career. I was working for Apple at the time. And, I thought to myself, you know, I kind of wanted something different. And for a weekend, I was helping a friend of mine, with his own business, web development. And I remember going home to my partner at the time, and sitting in bed and just kind of pondering this idea. And at the time we were pregnant with our son, forgive me. And I said to her, I turned over and I said, if I tried to start my own business, how many months would I have to try to succeed? And she stayed silent and then turned to me and said, you have 3 months. And I went, okay. So with absolutely no experience, I'm not going to pretend that I had an inkling. I did not. I found something at the University of Mount Royal, which I now teach at, something called Design for Change. It was just one of these little programs, you know, that they wanted to show you things. And here's an example of marketing, and I needed a starting place. And, you know, sometimes we look down at these little scenarios when we've gone so far in our careers and we're like, oh, this silly little thing. It's almost like the farmer's market of whatnot, right? And certainly not looking down at farmer's markets, but you know what I mean? Like it has immense value. And in it, I found the seed. I came across a gentleman named Ernest Barbarich, and he showed a model of marketing, and it clicked because I was also searching for what it is that I wanted. Like, what is it that I like? What do I enjoy?
Yeah,
I had Right. And so it's like, I'm going to take this personal journey that has the opportunity for business. And if I fail, I fail doubly so, triply so, you know, quadruply, because I have a family coming on the way.
Yes.
So it was ridiculous. And I have so much gratitude for my partner, my co-parent now, for giving, you know, me and us that opportunity.
Yes,
it was absolute foolishness. And in it, I was able to find that I enjoyed people, I enjoyed models. And then eventually, you know, slowly but surely, you know, built an agency by accident, and truly by accident. Again, not gonna lie, you know, I'm like, holy shit, I think I have an agency, you know, and you're like, well, this is kind of cool.
So in the 3 months that she gave you, mm-hmm. So you started the agency, and then you also started teaching as well. Is that right?
No, I taught later on.
You did the teaching later on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I've been teaching at Mount Royal University now for 5 years. I teach marketing, a variety of different courses there. And, yep. And of course, you know, teaching helps to, what's the word I'm looking for? It helps you better understand what it is that you're actually doing. And so yes. The more that I've done that, it has absolutely made me a better marketer without questions. Yeah. Being challenged by students, being validated, you know, with the processes and the efficiencies and all these other things I didn't know I enjoyed. I always considered myself to be incredibly creative, and that my logical side was lacking, for, you know, lack of a better word, which is kind of an odd thing to say. But I've come to understand that, like, I love my organization. Through organization, I created this you know, design aspect. And I've understood that through organization and processes, I have been able to provide myself with the clarity to be as creative as I want to be. And again, you know, it comes back to the self and self-reflection and looking at yourself and realizing, you know, what you might be missing, what you want to grow. I cannot state enough how grateful I am to my company for the growth that I have. And in fact, I have a hashtag in the shape of an octopus on my foot, specifically because it has provided me a good life. I'm certainly not rich. Goodness, no. Anybody who heard the number that I mentioned earlier and say you have five people on your team, you're not making a lot of money. And certainly I'm not, but I am happy beyond. Yes. I have decided, you know, especially over the last 2 years, what is success to me? Is it financial, or is it the liberty that I have to be my son's after school care?
Yeah.
To be creative, to help people. I am just, use any word you want, blessed, gratitude. My company has provided me with a lot, and I'm very grateful to the entity.
Yeah. It's interesting because the last few podcasts, the guests I've had on, that's been a common theme. And it's really interesting because, you know, these agency owners, you know, you hear time and time again, you know, in the industry, like the goal is to scale the agency and to create, you know, just the biggest agency you can.
Right. But
I think it's so important to really take a step back and, you know, what are your values? What are your goals? What's going to make you happy at the end of the day? And then create that agency that's going to be in alignment with where it is that you want to go.
Absolutely. And this is what we do with all our clients anyway. We take their business objectives and we align them with marketing goals. And so honestly, mm-hmm. everybody's had a rough go in their own way in these past 2 years. And last year I had to sit down because all this time was on our hands. And I had to ask myself, what is it that I want to do? And I had to dig deep for my own values and then align them with my company. And I came up with three. May I share them?
Yes, please do.
I came up with impact. I came up with community, and I came up with shared knowledge. And those three things were really important to me. And those were the types of clients that I wanted to now attract. I didn't want to hawk, you know, prime rib Saturdays anymore. I wanted people who I can get behind and go, yes, I want to be that support for you. I'm mm-hmm. not just your marketer. I am your support, your creative support. Yeah. And as well, I've been an advisor, you know, through all these startups and my startup journey. And so you know, a lot of value that we bring is things that you can't necessarily put into a service. And that's where this friendship comes along. And so all these things tie in together. But if I may say that the one thing that I was told, which was really interesting, again, because of my account. And so Ross is also my dearest friend. He is my greatest advisor. And he said to me, while we were looking at losing half our book when COVID mm-hmm. restrictions were lifted and people were looking at diversifying where their funds were going for marketing, mm-hmm. You know, he said, Dario, you don't build empires, you build community. And that truth hit me hard, because I realized that though I had come far to have a 20,000, you know, MMR, I didn't want to go for the throat. You know, I didn't want to scale to be a $1 million company. Mm-hmm. And this was, you know, also parroted by, you know, my right hand in the company who said something similar. And you have to listen to the people around you. And if you're uncomfortable, then there's something there. And so I had to sit with that for a little bit, and I decided to accept it. And it was a really good place to be, right? There's different types of founders, there's different types of CEOs, and mm-hmm. I'm the one you send into an event, and I make connections, and I love it. I love it. It's yes. the best. It's just so much fun, and my heart is full. And the end of the night, I'm friends with everybody, and that's my shtick.
Yeah.
But you get me sitting down talking about scaling and money, and I have had to admit that that's boring as hell for me.
That's not what lights you up.
It isn't, right? So wonderful, wonderful. So now I'm just shared space where I need to align myself with someone who has that drive.
Yes.
You know, while yep. I go do what I do. And damn, if that's just not the coolest kind of understanding to realize that everybody wants to be the singer, but some of us just can't fucking sing. And that's okay. So I'm the bassist. I love it.
100%. It's true. You gotta figure out what really lights you up, what your passion is, and get in line with that. Cause otherwise, you know, you're not going to feel fulfilled at the end of the day. You're not going to be producing the quality of work that's going to reflect your best version of you. So I agree.
Absolutely. And if I may add to that, cause we say these things like, you know, you find your passions, but within that, I'd love to add this piece to it, which is find your passions, but also, you know, admit and acknowledge what isn't for you, right? Take that step away.
That's huge.
It is huge. The negation of things, it liberates us to go, I am not, you know, the money CEO. You know, I am not the CEO. You know, we tell this all the time in entrepreneurs when I see these startups, especially when, you know, when I teach, I'll have these startups come in and they'll say, yeah, I'm trying to learn marketing right now. And not that I don't want them to be there, because I certainly want to teach them. But I ask, well, why are you wasting your time? Is this really where you need to be right now? Should mm-hmm. you be learning marketing, or should you be learning about yourself and what it is that you need to be going in? But certainly one could argue that the marketing is its own journey of understanding, because I have inadvertently converted students where they're like, okay, so marketing's not my jam, and I think I need to go do this instead. And I'm like, shit, sorry.
true. Yeah. You never know until you sort of dive deep and take a look.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome in the early days when you were first starting out with Octopus and Son?
Oh, confidence. So when I started, it's been around, so technically it's 10 years. Mm-hmm. I thought we were a project management company at first. I was like, I'm going to help people organize stuff, which is just ridiculousness. So technically it's been 10 years. And so if we look at that, then it's 2012, we're like 5 years into social media. You know, there aren't courses in universities yet. So, you know, I have to admit that, you know, I rode a couple of waves to what I deemed to be my own success. And there's privilege in that. And I want to acknowledge it alongside my own, you know, my own battle and the things that I achieved as well. I don't want to undermine what it is that I've done, but I have to admit that I've ridden waves. And so You know, 2012 Calgary, there was this really, you know, start this push for startups, etc. And so here I am, you know, with not a lot of confidence in what I'm doing because I don't have the years behind me, honestly learning at the same time that I'm providing the services to my clients. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've actually apologized to one of my clients that I've had for 8 years, and I thanked them for giving us like the opportunity to make mistakes with their brand as we learned.
Yes.
And so that confidence was difficult, but at the same time with this trend for startup, we had these conversations that were that allowed you to go, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I got imposter syndrome. I'm not sure about my mental health. You know, all these very important questions that we don't have. And so the openness of that wave allowed me to then continue to make mistakes at the same time that I was growing. And could that have happened in any other city in any other time? Certainly. But definitely the burden of that growth would have been more on me finding the doors to open rather than to be surrounded by a wave that was allowing that kind of thinking. So very grateful for that. That startup, you know, absolutely helped. And then honestly, as we all know, every listener on your show, you know, who has the company is going to agree with this, which is, you know, years in, or just even at the beginning, you know, we suddenly start struggling with the mental health piece, right? We are constantly holding up a mirror against ourselves with what success is, what our value is, the monetization of every piece of, you know, creative spirit we have, you know, videography, I might as well sell that as a service. And then, you know, the color drains from that passion because now it's just a quick, you know, 1 minute TikTok. So, you know, definitely struggled with mental health. This is something that I speak about with, I do talks and I talk about it at school as well. And I'm very open about it. Because it's incredibly important. It's and I should ask Ashley, may I speak to this at this moment?
Yes, please do. I think that's such you know, entrepreneurship can be isolating for a lot of people, and I think it's really important to just talk about, you know, the types of feelings that a lot of entrepreneurs go through, and you know, what has helped one person might, you know, be inspiring for another entrepreneur or helpful.
Fair. And that's always my hope. I my talks are always, I always state that, you know, I am by no means an expert, but I hope that the journey can allow other people to pick up pieces to add to their own puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I absolutely struggled, you know, with my mental health. I did not realize that's what it was. I just kept raising the threshold of, you know, that isolation, like you say. You know, here I am. I have a young family. I'm constantly away. I'm constantly focused on me. And truly forgot that there was a unit, that there was a team, that there was a family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pushed against it. Excuse me, to the point where I had three startups and a marriage that I was failing. And so, you know, I legitimately had the good old fashioned break. I had the breakdown, you know, at Work Nicer. And my founder, Alex Pudicy, an incredibly good friend of mine, you know, we sat down and he was just like, I need you to tell me what's going on. And honestly, I did not know. I was overwhelmed. I was frustrated. I couldn't find my tongue to speak. I couldn't find the words. I was doing everything I was doing. I was hustling. Wasn't I hustling, but I was failing. Mm-hmm. So, I did one of the hardest things in my life, and one that I've had to go over, is I resigned from the most successful startup that I've ever been involved with, which was Work Nicer.
Yeah.
And that was very hard. It took me years to come back. You know, I am a co-founder solely on paper. And I'm very proud of that. But its growth right now is thanks to the genius of Alex. And I'm certain, you know, the ideals that we started together, but he has grown that company. And when people talk about it in reverence, I'm so proud of him. And I also think to myself, oh, darn, I could have. But then one day it dawned on me, I couldn't have. And I told this to Alex one day. I said, I was an absolutely shitty co-founder. I did not have the skill, the understanding, the language or the experience to truly give you what you needed as a co-founder. And so I came to the conclusion it was good that I took a step back. But all this to say is that my mental health journey thus began. And I had to put everything aside, even Octopus and Sun, and take time for myself. I had three clients. I was doing yoga every day. And I decided to focus on one thing only, which was I'm only going to do marketing. I'm not going to try all these other fancy scenarios. I'm not going to try to scale. Mm-hmm. So the company went stagnant, if you will, for around, 3 years while I took this opportunity. Now, again, another wave, the mental health wave came, and we spoke about it openly. We spoke about men struggling with mental health openly. We spoke about very hard things such as suicide and and entrepreneurship and the struggle and the stress and what that looked like. And so, I joke that I went through and read a lot of Pink and Purple sites, meaning that a lot of what I learned was from Brené Brown. When I look at the male equivalents to that 6 years ago, I didn't come across it. I'm certain that they existed, but I came across instead these groups were like divorced dads meet once a week and drink beer. What the fuck is that? I don't want to do that. No, I want to talk about my feelings.
It makes me so happy to hear more and more men being open about their feelings and just being real and human, because it's just had such a stigma for so long. And I think it's so important. Where did we get to in society where men can't, feel comfortable just saying how they feel?
I concur. And I feel like we've done a great disservice, to men. I mean that everybody, and even I was, I had collected all these pieces, these limiting beliefs, these kind of thinking that I was supposed to do X, Y, and Z. And that's being uncomfortable, was akin to death. I don't want to be uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. So it took a lot to break that down. But, when the pieces are all on the floor and you're collecting them, I had to think, okay, well, am I going to do this whole thing again? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to build this in a much better way? And so I decided when my marriage fell apart, I resigned from my company and I was not doing well. I had that nice little three hits that I had a choice. I can either start over again and do the same thing, or I can admit, awful feeling that, it was me. And now, fuck, Julia, I would always rather it's me. I could fix me. Mm-hmm. I can't fix you or anybody else. But if the problem is me, oh, fuck, thank you. And so I decided to be vulnerable and uncomfortable, and it sucked. It was awful. And I said to myself, I want to be a better man, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And that also meant that I wanted my son to be a better man too. And it's my responsibility that he become that. So if I was going to be a good father, a great father, attempted great father, if I was going to be a better man, then I had to be honest with myself, and it was fucking awful.
But so did you have to find how to tie in what that passion is, where you wanted to build the agency, and then also do it in a way where you weren't going to sacrifice that time with your family? You had to find that balance. Is that what that journey kind of looked like?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. It was a balance. I was, again, privileged to be surrounded by good people that allowed me the opportunity to do that. I had to tell some of my clients, I'm having a rough go here. Can I be honest with you? And they were like, it's all good. It happens. And again, thank you to the conversation happening around that. They were like, oh yes, we get it. We've been hearing, this is a thing. Really grateful that you're being honest. Yeah. Suddenly my greatest vulnerability became my greatest strength. Here I am doing talks now, right? Again, not stating that I'm on stage and I'm still a mess. I'm like, I'm going to go home and cry now. I'm still figuring it out. And so in real time, I was working on the company, aligning my values. And I would say without a question of a doubt that without what happened 6 years ago, you know, my company wouldn't be where it is, where my value is people, where relationships are important, where we have an honesty, where I don't have contracts, where, you know, I set expectation. Like all my language is very Brené Brown. I set expectations, right? I have boundaries. I will state, you know, like I am uncomfortable in this situation right now, but I'd like to discuss this. You know, I use a lot of this language in my company. And if I may say, I also use a lot of Apple lingo in my company, which was, I don't know, let's find out, using the resources around me, stating benefits over feature, all these things to grow myself. As soon as I opened the door to being vulnerable and finding my vocabulary, my business thrived.
That's so cool. Wow.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Amazing.
So,
you know, looking ahead now, what is your goal? Like, where do you see yourself and Octopus and Sun in, you know, 3 years time or 5 years time, whatever that, you know, that goal that you may have is?
So that's a really good question. So now that, you know, I am in a healthy space, where my company is in a healthy space, where I've been able to answer these hard questions like that you're asking, which honestly, yesterday, Russ asked me, he's like, I need you to know what you're not happy with now and where you want to go. Mm-hmm. So I sat down and I wrote it out. And believe it or not, it's me getting out of my own way. Mm, that's the next.
I like that. Yeah.
And it's not about, I have a hard time relinquishing control. No. I got over that one 3 years in, which I should say was the difficult one and probably one of the greatest, most important things that a founder needs to do. Know your role, get out of the fucking way. But mm-hmm. in getting out of the way, I've realized that I do want to continue doing the creative piece because it fills my cup. But I want my company to be big. I'd love to hit $500,000, which again, you know, doesn't sound big to these very large agencies, but I want to put into place and support my team to thrive as well. I'm very big on making sure that they are never punished for their efficiencies, and I want them to make good money. I want the money that I make to feed and nurture my own circle. It is not just mine. It belongs to the people that I'm able to support around me and who in turn support me. I cannot grow without my team. And I've been very honest with them, and I love them dearly. And so in an odd way, rather than me thinking about what I want for the company, one of my greatest tools for myself, because I know how I work and I don't go for the throat, if I state I want success for the people around me, I will push harder. I know that about myself.
Yeah.
So I say that I would like to double our MMR, and I would like to basically make success or financial success for those around me as well. They deserve it. And they've stuck around, and I appreciate them. So that's my goal. And then get out of my way. I'm just going to do two things. I'm going to be the guy that makes soup for my clients, and every once in a while makes a TikTok video for them. Just come by and say hi. So there, if I may, there's a restaurant. I get this idea from a restaurant in Calgary called Teatros, and the owner's name is Dario. And he's known for coming out on Fridays around the restaurant. It's a high-end restaurant. I've never been. With two glasses of wine and a bottle, and he'll just go from table to table and shoot the shit with people, and that's the owner. He's just like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I love it. That's what I want to do, but I need to get out of my own way because I know that I don't go for the throat. So in a way, I am looking for a CEO. I am looking for someone to take the reins, move forward with the same values I have. I maintain the values and the heart. I want to be the heart of this company. Mm-hmm. Cannot be the driver at the same time. And that's okay. That's okay.
Well, you never want to be in a position where you're a bottleneck to your company. And yeah. And I think, when you recognize your strengths, you know where you want to be, what fills your cup. And then you look for those other people that have those strengths that you're looking for. Exactly. Yeah. It's a recipe for success.
And again, it's the idea of, rather than what do I want, it's, you know, what do I need to remove myself from? And I find that that question is so pertinent, so important. And yeah, getting out of my own way. When I wrote that down, honestly, Julia, yesterday, I was like, oh, shit. All right.
It's an aha moment.
Oh, yeah. And wonderfully so, right? Again, not that I'm the problem, but if I'm the problem, I can fix that, can't I?
Yes, exactly.
Are you badass?
I love it. Awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly. We'll be moving on to the fast five. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you in just a moment. But do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I came into this interview deciding that I didn't want to talk about numbers and laud the success, the traditional type of success. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be honest about the ups and the downs, because without them, I would not be where I am today. And so I'm grateful for that platform. If I were to impart anything, and again, not a wisdom, but solely just this is my journey, take the pieces, mm-hmm. is that the dismantling of our ego to a degree, because in business, one needs ego. It is important. But the personal ego, if you can break that down and align it with the goals of your business, I firmly believe that you become something even stronger than your model or your money sheets. In the end, I firmly believe that you as an individual need to be honest with yourself, and we fake it a lot, and we need to be more honest about our own misgivings. And it sounds so cliched now because it's obvious, but man, without it, without those two waves, Julia, I don't believe I would be here, because I'm not a good businessman. And it's such an odd thing to say. And people are like, no, you are. You're successful. You have 8 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but business is not my jam. People are my jam. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that, fuck, I thrived. So I hope that people take that and go, what is my jam? Like, what is it in business that I love, that I want to draw from that?
Yeah.
Be that.
Yeah.
Be that.
Just encourage people to, you know, take that time to go within and figure out what makes you happy and what it is that you want to achieve.
Absolutely. And I'm not affiliated with Brené Brown. Goodness, no, I'm not. I'm a nobody. But I cannot stress enough how lovely her language and vocabulary is. So if there are any guys that are listening right now, and of course, everybody, please do not get me wrong, but just as I speak from a perspective of being a male, I truly encourage you guys to go increase your vocabulary, learn about you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there, and there's a lot behind doors that you might not know. And your greatest strengths, honestly, are behind those doors. So have that journey.
I love that. All right. Well, Dario, that was an amazing interview. And to conclude it, we are going to now run through the fast five. So right. I have five rapid fire questions for you. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Okay. That would be The Catcher in the Rye, only because I hated it and threw it in the garbage. It's only one of two books I've ever thrown in the garbage, which is an awful thing to do. I hated Holden Caulfield, The Passion of a Thousand Suns, because he was so inactive. He just blamed everybody. But I think about that often. And honestly, it's personal responsibility. Don't blame other people.
It's what you learn not to do.
Yes. Don't be Holden Caulfield.
Okay. Yeah. What does your morning routine look like?
I wake up at 5:30. This sounds ridiculous. And then I go back to bed. One of the first things I do is I drink 2 glasses of water because I'm dehydrated. And then I sit down and I meditate. And by meditate, I don't mean I find nirvana. I literally have like a playlist on Spotify and I just do breathing exercises. I don't look at my computer right away. I can't. If I do, I get drawn into it and my day is shot. I need to begin my day as a person first.
Yep. And just find that time to, you know, center yourself a bit and clear your mind, have that quiet time.
100%. You got to pay you first. And if that means alone time and not being stressed, then that's you paying you.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Believe it or not, no, not out there. Like, you know, on LinkedIn where I follow and I listen to everything they say. It's not to say that there's not value. There absolutely is. But I actually lean on my circle more so because I have a co-working space. Those conversations are constantly being had. So a lot of the information is being had in conversations. And so I lean on that. I really do.
Very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
You're gonna laugh at me, but it's Google Sheets. Okay. I'll tell you why it's Google Sheets. So I it's not because, oh, the numbers and Excel and all that. No, I'm terrible at that stuff. I live and breathe through designs that I've built inside of Google Sheets for like editorial calendars, processes, matrices. I love Google Sheets so much. And I love it. All my students, and they're like, really, this? And I'm like, yes, it's Google Sheets. So that is, and it sounds so dumb, it really, really does, but I damn well love it. Oh
no, you know what, I probably open up a new Google document, like Google Sheets is like the grid, like the Excel sheet, right?
Yeah, the Excel sheet.
So I just open up like the Word doc on Google probably like 10 times a day, like any like list brainstorming. So like I'm in there all the time. So helpful.
I built templates so that I can easily jump in and just be like, you know, meeting minutes, etc. And then I'm really big on memory support. Not just for our clients, but for me too, because I'm going to forget. And so, yeah, I build these templates using Google Suite, and I love it. And it's nice. It's, you know, I don't know. It's, well, may I ask, what's yours?
So I use it for everything. So like to-do lists, processes that we have in place. So like templates. Right. So yeah.
Would you say that's your favorite, I guess?
Tool?
Yeah.
I would say Calendly is probably my favorite tool because I despise going back and forth and coordinating meetings, and Calendly is just so convenient. But the Google Suite is definitely an amazing time saver. So convenient.
Right. But yeah, Calendly all the way. Absolutely worth the $10. Oh, it is a brilliant piece of, and I've been there for a while now where I've seen them change their logo twice. That's really when you know you've been around for a while, is when the brand changes a couple of times.
I talk about Calendly all the time. I feel like I could make a steady commission the way I talk about Calendly. You should,
right? Like, what's the value to you? Why? It's because you appreciate and value your time, Julia. You know what it's worth.
It is so convenient. I love it.
I love that. Hey, you know what, Julia? Thanks for this today. It was really nice.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dario. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about your journey and your story of starting your agency. So thank you again.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.